Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In tight end, formerly of the Niners, of Washington, and others around the league, Jordan Reed is going to join us here momentarily, and we'll get his thoughts on the team and what's going on, but also he is executive producer on a new show coming out called Off Season, and it profiles elite athletes and spends a whole episode with them going over their off season, their family life, their agent life, their team life, their workout life, all of these things. And among those on the show coming up this season are both George Kittle and Ricky Pearsall. Joining us right now on the River Islands guest line is none other than that former tight end Jordan Reed here on Willard and Dibbs 95.7 The Game. Hey, Jordan, thanks for coming on, man. It's great to have you.
Yes, sir, man. Thanks for having me, bro.
Hey,
it's a pleasure.
Yeah, take us through this show and how the whole thing came together.
Yeah, man. So the idea of off-season came together. A group of partners got together and just realized that, you know, off season is part of the year for athletes that, you know, is fairly untouched and untold, and a lot of big stories happen during the off season, and it gives people a real glimpse into what it takes to being a professional athlete and being at the highest stage.
I mean, it's incredible, and I wonder how you go about figuring out and deciding who you want to profile and what stories you want to tell, and, you know, just how many of these players are just kind of dying to tell their story.
Yeah, man. So off the platform gives athletes, you know, the ability to tell their story in a cinematic way and in a way they want it to be told, without, you know, the media touching it and twisting and turning their words. They have a voice, and then they can executive produce their own episode. So it's an exciting concept, and we're glad to be bringing it forth and deciding who's in it, man. We're going after the juiciest stories. We're going after the real stories that haven't been told. For example, Ricky Pearsall, you know, him coming in his rookie year and then having that horrific thing happen to him right as he's getting drafted. You know, it's the first time he's able to go on camera and tell the story, you know, in a safe environment.
Jordan Reed is with us, former NFL tight end, former Niner tight end, and executive producer of this show Off Season. And yeah, Jordan, we just played a little clip from the trailer where Ricky is completely in tears trying to recount what was going through his mind right after that bullet went through his midsection. And so I would love to hear more about what you learned about Ricky Pearsall in the shooting of this show.
Yeah, man. Yeah, just the fact that he went up there and opened up like that showed me a lot about him and showed me how traumatic that situation was for him, which I definitely could understand. But, you know, just giving him the space to tell that and feel comfortable enough to open up, it's an honor for him to feel that way on our platform. But, yeah, man. It's all about telling the real stories. It's all about giving guys the platform to feel comfortable, to speak their mind, speak their truth. And Ricky, one thing that I learned from him, you know, and I understand why he's such a great kid and great athlete. He has an amazing support system around him. It's from his father, his mother, his sisters, and all his friends and his girlfriend. And you get to see that in the episode. You get to see why he's such a special person. And it's about the people he's surrounded with.
How much time did you get to spend with Ricky, and how emotional was that for you to see him be so frank and honest in recounting what was an absolutely horrifying incident?
So we had a crew down with Ricky, if I can recall, 4 days. And during that process, man, everybody on set was pinging me, telling me how excited they were that, you know, Ricky was so comfortable in front of the camera. And his personality was so charismatic. I stay and let those guys have their space. It's not about me. I just want those guys to feel 100% comfortable in their own space. There's a crew out there, and there's professionals there that are guiding athletes through the days and the work. But yeah, they're super excited about, you know, how Ricky opened up.
Jordan, we're also excited right now because 2 days from literally this moment, from 48 hours from now, George Kittle is going to be back on the football field for the first time since week one. And I'd love to sort of tap into not only your experience with him on this show, but you guys were teammates in 2020. So can you give me an idea of what his energy means to a football team?
And George's energy, you know, He has that championship energy. He has that energy where in the huddle, you know, it doesn't matter what's going on in the game. You know, you're going to go out there and you're going to give your full effort. And he's going to lead that up and make sure that's happening. And when you're in the huddle with a guy like that, all you can do is come along the same way and be uplifted, because he just has that energy about him. True leader, true competitor. And, you know, I know they're going to have a championship. I know Kittle's going to win a Super Bowl on his day.
We're certainly hoping so. And I wonder, when you look at George, or when George looks at himself, is he more offensive lineman mentality or more wide receiver mentality?
It's funny you say that, man, because in his episode, he talks about that mentality. And he got that from his father being a former O-lineman and an O-line coach. And so he talks in detail about, you know, how his dad instilled that in him in an early age to, you know, the best feeling on the football field is to put a man on his back against their will. And he talks about just that. And, you know, it comes from his father and his upbringing. So it was pretty cool.
We're talking to former Niners and Washington tight end Jordan Reed, teammate of George Kittle back in 2020, and also Kittle and Ricky Pearsall are a part of a new series called Off Season, and Jordan is an executive producer for that series, and it'll profile everything that those guys go through in the off season. Jordan, I mean, just in general, when you're talking to these athletes, I'd love to know what you and all of them, what do they want the public to know about their off season and what they go through?
They all have very unique stories to tell, man. Whether it's Ricky and his story, David and Joku, and, you know, what he does in his off season, how he prepares, his mentality, the team he has around him, from Trey Hendrickson to, you know, dealing with everything he dealt with this off season with Cincinnati, and, you know, how he was handling all the pressure of not knowing where he's going to end up, holding out while still preparing for the off season. So it's amazing perspective. It gives fans, you know, true insight to what pros are doing and how they're preparing, all the obstacles they have to face in order to get just to the season alone. So, yeah, man, it's pretty amazing.
And it's a great list of guys you got racked up for the first season. I'm sure you're already thinking about future episodes. Is there anybody else out there that you're thinking, man, we've got to get them on for next season as we get into season two?
Honestly, we're still in talks a little bit, but we're figuring out that list. And, you know, what happens this season and during this season and going into early off season is going to decide, you know, who we're going to want to feature in the next next season and things. But it's all about the real stories, man. We want to be able to tell them and give people a real insight to what it takes, and you know, just giving these athletes, you know, a platform to tell their stories.
Jordan Reed, 28 career touchdowns. Four of them were with the Niners. In 2020, you played with the Niners. There was the sprained MCL week two, but then you did come back. You played 10 total games that year. So would love to tap into some of your expertise from that season and your time with the Niners. What's it like playing for Kyle Shanahan?
Man, it's awesome. The 49ers are a great organization, truly professional. It's a positive energy in the building all the time. And, you have to prepare and be ready, because Kyle brings in the most competitive players from the draft, the sharpest players, and he makes them even more disciplined and even more serious, you know, as he's developing them out. So, you know, being there, you had to bring it every day. There was no messing around. There was, you know, when you go walk through the locker room, you see guys like Fred Warner in his locker, constantly studying film, not talking, not messing around. You walk through a quiet locker room and you see Fred in the corner looking at his playbook, locked in. All you can do is get locked in at that point when you see a guy like that doing that. So that's the culture he built from the guys they brought in there. So it was an amazing experience, and I learned a ton. I learned a ton about it, and that's what I use the same things that I learned from my days in the league, my time with Shanahan and all the guys, to propel me into this next career.
Yeah, and you also played with Trent Williams as well. How important is it for a team to have those not only elite players but high character guys in the room?
Yeah, man. Like I say, all you can do is fall in line at that point. You're surrounded by a bunch of elite competitors who are constantly doing the right things in the training room, in the weight room, film study. All you can do is fall in line. And that's why you see so many of their younger guys coming in and being ready to play and make big plays, is because they're preparing like vets, and they see their veteran teammates doing the right things, and they're going to fall in line.
Former Niners tight end Jordan Reed with us here on Willard and Dibbs. Jordan, I'm sure you're well aware the 49ers are dealing with just a ton of injuries right now. And among them, the quarterback Brock Purdy is dealing with a turf toe situation, and they're trying to figure out when to bring him back. And it's not lost on everybody that 2 weeks from this weekend, they will be in New York to face the Giants at MetLife Stadium. It's the same stadium where week two in 2020, you sprained your MCL, Nick Bosa tore his ACL, Solomon Thomas tore his ACL. What is your perspective on that field and how a turf toe injury might do on it?
Yeah, when we played on that field, if I remember correctly, it was the first year of the turf getting put down. And so it was brand new turf, which, obviously it wasn't broken in yet. And I think that's what caused a lot of the injuries that got that game. Guys were getting stuck in the turf in awkward positions, which led to a lot of injuries in those 2 weeks. We played at that field 2 weeks in a row. Yep. So I chalked that up to being a brand new laid turf that wasn't broken in yet. I think that, you know, it's good now. You're not hearing about all these crazy injuries. I think that year Saquon actually tore his ACL as well on that same turf. So, yeah, you're not hearing about all the guys getting injured there anymore. So I think it's going to be fine for Brock.
Yeah, I mean, the sticky turf, I hadn't even thought about that, Jordan. The new turf obviously going to be a lot stickier than when it starts to wear in and gets a little bit easier to kind of navigate. I wonder about, you know, just the rigors, not only of the turf, but of the travel. And now here we are, not quite to midseason, but you know, you got six games under your belt. How taxing is that, not only physically, but mentally, as you start to settle into the meat of a season?
I think, I think that's when guys really start to catch their, get in the routine of things, start to get in real football shape and season shape. If you can stay healthy and not get too banged up in those first six games, then, you know, you usually ready to take the hits, and your body's more prepared for the rest of the season. So, and then when they are dealing with injuries, if they got some early ones, then, you know, like you said, George is starting to come back around. Brock's, he's getting ready to play as well. So it's going to be a good couple of weeks, I think, for the 49ers.
Jordan, it's really nice to have your perspective, man. And I'll tell you what, we're sure interested to see these episodes when they come out. Can you tell people a little bit about where the project is right now and what they might be able to expect?
Yeah, man. So we're looking at a holiday season launch on multiple platforms, and that, you know, once we are ready to, you know, let everybody know what platform it's going to be on, we definitely will have the guys posting about it. And, you know, it's going to be an exciting time, man. We're really excited to give the fans this insight and launch our first season.
Jordan, best of luck with it. We're very, very interested to see these episodes, and really nice to have you on the show. Thank you for doing it.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me, guys.
Okay, thank you. There it is. Jordan Reed, former Niners tight end, spent the majority of his career, 2013 through 2019, with Washington, and then came over to the Niners for 2020. A little injury there during the season, but did play 10 games, and then retired. And mainly cited concussions. He had, I think, 7 known concussions during his career. That is an average pretty much of 1 a year for every time he played.
Right, and as a tight end.
Good Lord.
That's why I was wondering about, you know, the George Kittle mindset, because he plays like an offensive lineman. And he runs around out there, and he acts like he's a lightweight tackle, and then he's also a phenomenal receiver as well. And so, you know, I can't wait to hear George Kittle's own stories about growing up with an offensive lineman father and an offensive line coach. And so you come up in that way and with that mentality, and then come to find out you're really nimble and fast and good at catching the ball. So tight end is a natural place where you land, but George obviously never lost that love of going out there and pancaking guys.
Here's a little bit of George from the trailer for the show Off Season.
All just stuff that we do when we're not playing football. I always have this itch in the back of my neck. I have this anxiety in the back of my neck. It's like, are you really ready? Have you worked hard enough?
Because the window of the NFL is very short. NFL stands for not for long.
Yeah, I mean, to hear him say that when obviously he's coming back from an injury and it's not the super scary career-threatening kind. But, man, I you hear him say it. You listen to Ricky Pearsall crying through the story of being shot, and it's just another reminder. It's kind of funny. You brought up earlier today the whole Schedule Sam thing that we've kind of created.
Yep.
And it's just funny to me how much we still kind of project forward with our thoughts on what's going to be happening in November and December and January and February. And it's just like we're talking out of our butts. Like, that's just flat out
kind of
what it
is. Kind of the job, though, right?
No, and I'm not coming at anybody for doing that. But it's just like we get reminded every single week that when we get back here, we could do this right now. It's Friday. It's 5:19 in the afternoon. When we get back here to do another show on Monday, the whole damn deal might be different. It sure was last Monday, and it was on the Nick Bosa Monday, and the Brock Purdy and George Kittle Monday, and all of those things. So we're like, ooh, they'll either be 5-2 or they'll be 4-3, and then that'll mean this, and this. And it's like, dude, that's why it just happens to be a moment in time this season where I think it's very easy to get uber-focused on this game. George Kittle comes back. If you can find a way to get another win with your second quarterback, if you can find a way to do that, I think it really moves the baton down the road on two things. A, the Niners actually acquiring people at the deadline, and B, starting to have realistic conversations about what you might still be able to achieve, because it means your defense, even without reinforcements, kept you in a football game. I don't currently know that they can do that. We'll see. But I honestly, that's a question of mine going into Sunday. Is this defense even NFL level, to be honest with you? Is it or top half of the NFL level? Can they go keep you in a football game. I don't know.
Yeah, they're going to need to, and they've done that. Even, you know, when they had Bosa, it was easier. And when they had Fred Warner, sure, you have a better ability to do that. But you haven't given up a ton of big plays. Tampa got you for a handful. That game kind of got into a little bit of a wide-open affair, and then you couldn't make the biggest play that you needed to make, which was 3rd and 14, and Huff had Mayfield sacked, and he got away and gets away again.
Oh, man.
And he kept getting away, and then he dove for the first down. That really, if you look at the defense, there were a couple of plays, even two or three or four plays you look at and you say, well, if you could have been better there, you still could have won that game. There was that one. There was two busts in coverage.
Yep.
The one where, you know, both of the Johnson catches, Tez with an amazing catch at the goal line, but he was pretty open.
But that's kind of what I'm getting at. Like,
right.
We'll call him a bust in coverage. Like, well, that doesn't happen often. Well, it did when Fred left. It did.
Well, it also does when you don't rush the quarterback.
Right, and now you get a week to work and practice without him and all of those things. But, okay, now let's see it. Like, this almost feels like you're unveiling a new defense. You got a new green dot, and he's a seventh-round young player. Okay, let's check it out. Early returns last week were that he can do some things. So, and I love Robert Saleh's defense. I love the structure that's around him. But a bunch of babies running around out there on Sunday night.
Yep, and this is where you have Robert Saleh for a reason. You brought in an elite coordinator because you knew you were going to have a young defense. Saleh comes in and says, yeah, let me go ahead and take the first five picks and then you guys can do what you want. And I'm obviously speaking out of school because I don't know that's how that went, but they did take five defensive players with their first five picks. And so, all right, Saleh, here are your five pups to go with Bosa and Warner. Oops, never mind. No more Bosa and Warner. But all right, you got this young group. Go out there and make it work. And the things that have to change, one, you're going to have to pressure the quarterback. Michael Penix doesn't like pressure. What quarterback does, I know. But Penix is a guy who will give you the football if you can get to him. But the Niners are second to last this year, according to Football Reference, in pressure rate. They don't pressure the quarterback. They don't hit the quarterback. They don't blitz. So now you're asking your young secondary to go out there and cover for 4 and 5 and 6 seconds against a pretty good receiving core. So Robert Saleh is going to have to find a way to dial up some pressure.
Yep.
Maybe you're going to have to take more chances than your blitz rate, which is 16%, which according to Football Reference is almost bottom of the league. So if your front four can't get there, you're going to have to bring other people. And I'm just interested by what Greg Cosell always says to us about the blitz. If you're going to blitz, you have to have somebody who's good at blitzing. And Fred Warner is good at blitzing. He can't blitz.
Right.
And Upton Stout actually had a great blitz, and he wound up getting a roughing the passer. He got there a touch late on the other Johnson's touchdown pass. So you got to figure out how you can get pressure on Penix.
No doubt about it, but it's scary because his skill position players are the best thing on this team, right? Bijan Robinson and Drake London. Is Mooney back? I think Darnell Mooney. Is Mooney back in this game? I know he missed Monday night against Buffalo. Don't know about Darnell Mooney. I know Kyle Pitts has disappointed fantasy drafters for years, but this is a talented player who was drafted very, very high, and if they do get him the ball, he can do some things. Yeah, Grandy, what's
up? Darnell Mooney was limited in practice Wednesday and Thursday. Did not participate today.
Oh.
Is officially questionable.
Right.
That sounds bad. Sounds less than likely, yeah.
And Ray McLeod will be out for Atlanta as well.
Oh, well then, we've got to take advantage of that.
Well.
You know what I mean?
That was a little mean, but Felipe Franks, questionable.
You know what we should have done? This is completely off the subject. Then we'll play some Shanahan sound for you. We should have made you do two picks. We should have made you do another one.
Just to make it two picks?
Just because there is another big game in the Bay this week that we could have had some fun with, and I almost forgot. It starts in 2 hours.
Okay.
Bill Belichick is here.
Oh, that's right.
The hoodie is at Berkeley at 7:30 on national television tonight. Cal Bears -7.5.
Oh, boy. I mean.
You want to touch that one or no?
Not really.
Not really.
I don't do a lot of college, but I'm glad you reminded me because I remember the hoodie.
The hoodie's
in town.
In town.
And, man, Cal's a tough one. Just when you think they're about to be good, they disappoint you. Like the Duke game, that was parents' weekend, and my niece goes to Berkeley, so my sister-in-law went to that game, and looking good early, and then Duke just ran them off the field. Duke.
Sagapolatelli.
Sure.
Sagapolatelli.
Sure.
JKS.
Right.
Two fun facts about this game tonight.
Hi, Lucas.
Hey, guys. The spread is down. Yeah.
It was down.
10.5
Ooh. Oh, wow. Yesterday. What happened?
Now it's down to 7.5
What do we not know about?
Pablo Torre did a little episode on Jordan Hudson and Bill Belichick.
And that, that happened in the number? Last
24 hours. Move the line.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of any developing news. The other interesting note on this is that about half the station will be there at this game tonight.
Oh, great.
Yeah, including Grandy and myself.
You're both going.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep.
What does half the station mean? Who else is going? I need names.
Carter.
Yep.
Ken. Sam Lubman. Evan.
Are you all going separately or together? Is this like a group outing?
Yeah, we're gonna be there.
Oh, okay.
We got big group tickets.
You did.
Hey, Dib, do you want to come?
I was,
I mean, I would have.
Not told about this.
Right.
It's, is this like a not the hosts thing that you guys
put together?
What are
you calling Grandy and Evan?
Well, I'm sorry, they're in, and I'm trying to figure out why certain members of the staff didn't get told.
Can't even say they don't have kids, everyone, because Ken has kids.
Ken's got... How many kids? How many kids? Yeah, a kid.
It's about his kids about three.
Okay,
about my kids' age.
It's even crossed over stations. Stephen Langford's going to be there too.
Oh,
yeah. Great.
He's about to have a kid.
Okay.
Well, his wife is technically.
Just keeping track of things for the Super Bowl party.
Hey, Willard, you want to come?
Just keeping track.
Right.
No.
We got an extra ticket.
I don't.
How are you going to navigate the best of, Grandy, when you're on the air till 7?
Best of? We got Warriors live tonight.
That's right. We got a Dubs
Gucci.
Game. Gucci. There you go, Dubs. Dubs.
Look at you.
Dubs and Clippers. Is Jimmy Butler in or out?
Jimmy Butler's not playing.
Out.
Neither is Jonathan Kuminga. He tweaked his ankle.
What?
Oh, the play in which he got thrown out on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think they're being cautious. Anybody concerned about Moody or Butler or JK?
The Warriors expect JK and Jimmy to be good for Tuesday. Moses Moody is, though, doubtful. It seems like he's probably not going to play the regular season opener.
Okay, okay.
You know who's starting tonight, though?
You love Will Richard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's good.
Watch him cook. Kid's got game. And when I was off yesterday, I actually heard Grandy say the 6 sweetest words I could have possibly heard.
Yes.
I have to agree with Dibs. Yeah.
I actually checked, and you don't have to.
He said it, and I happened to be listening at that time.
You don't have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too late.
Well.
Loves the Dibber.
Hours later, he was smacking his hands together in solidarity against you.
That's fine.
For your Niner pick.
Yeah.
So.
I actually did not partake in that.
Oh, never mind.
And I'm going to lay off the North Carolina v. Cal.
Okay.
7.5 is a little bit, it's a little high for me. I think Cal's going to win, but.
San Jose State is at Utah State an hour or hour and a half earlier. And getting 3.5 if you'd like to weigh in on that one. Let's go, Sparty.
Sure. I mean, the only bet that I think would be bettable, I don't even know if the game started, but you bet the Dodgers to just go ahead and polish this thing off. I'm just telling. I told Guru that.
Baseball ended.
Okay.
Yeah. Baseball's over.
Sure.
Yeah. Kyle Shanahan on the injury situation with the Niners.
All right, guys. For the game, so much shorter when I don't have to say limited. Yetur is out. Ricky out. Brock out. Kevin Givens, Renardo Green, and Upton Stout are 3 questionable.
Okay. Oh, Renardo Green and Upton Stout are both questionable. It's probably been an under-discussed story. That sounds like a big deal.
Yeah.
They also worked out 3 DBs. Either yesterday or the day before. I wonder if they've got some current concern with regard to the depth at defensive back.
I don't have an update on Renardo Green, but apparently Upton Stout hurt his ankle at the end of practice yesterday.
That's not good.
No.
That's not good when the injury comes late. Okay, so that's one thing. Here's a little bit more from Kyle on what he saw from Brock in practice this week.
He was able to get out there, throw more. Thought it was definitely a step further ahead than it was last week, so going the right direction.
Okay, and how's Mac doing physically?
Like everybody, I mean, no one feels 100% great, but I know he was a lot farther ahead this week than he was last week. You know, he didn't have to miss as much. You know, Adrian didn't have to take as many reps for him, and he's improved.
Okay, that's good. What about plans for George Kittle? He's playing, but is he on a pitch count?
No pinch count. You know, George has rehabbed really well, came back 100%, has a good week of practice, so we'll space it out throughout the game. But, yeah, no pinch count.
I think I'd like to break some news here on 95.7 The Game, because all over Twitter, it is being reported that Kyle Shanahan said that George will not be on a pitch count. Kyle did not say that. Kyle said that George wouldn't be on a pinch count.
No pinch count. You know, George has rehabbed really well, came back 100%, has a good week of practice, so we'll space it out throughout the game. But, yeah, no pinch count.
Okay, I would like to point out that he said it twice.
Yep.
So when you're like, oh, you're making fun of Kyle because he misspoke, I don't think that that's what happened. He said it twice. So George might only have five plays, but he is allowed to pinch anybody over there on the sideline whenever he'd like.
And I think that that's most appropriate for St. Paddy's Day. If someone's not wearing green, then yeah, you're not on a pinch count. You pinch away if somebody's not wearing green on Paddy's Day.
Twice!
Yep.
No pinch count. You know, George has rehabbed really well, came back 100%, has a good week of practice, so we'll space it out throughout the game. But yeah, no pinch count.
No pinch count.
Yeah. And he'll space it out throughout the game. Huh. I wonder if that means he'll get his usual, and I'm looking at his career numbers. He's generally between 86 and 92% of snaps. So
maybe a little less, because don't forget, like, Tonjes has also kind of established himself as a good player.
Right, but if you're going to be, it's kind of like the Brian Robinson Jr. McCaffrey thing. If you're going to be in a spot where it's third and four and you're thinking about the tight end, you'd rather have Kittle in there than you'd have Tonjes.
But he might be on a pitch count.
Well, he's not going to be on a pitch count.
We don't know that. He did not address
it. Gotcha. He's not going to be on a pinch count.
He's not on a pinch count. He might be on a pitch count.
Yeah.
Nobody ever asked that. How important is it to have Kittle's leadership back?
Well, I think that's big, but you know, I think the bigger part is getting him on the field. I mean, it's always good to have good leaders around and stuff, but it starts with being on the field.
So if you ever end up in the media, this is just for the young up and coming reporters out there. If you ever end up at a press conference and you'd like a coach to give an expansive answer, don't ask about his own or her own players. Ask about the other team. Here's Kyle on Bijan.
Real talented running back. I mean, he's one of the faster guys in the league. He's got real good balance, pure talent as a runner, how good he is in the pass game. I mean, when you can do both like that, you're going to get touches. I mean, it always starts with touches with running back. But when you can do it in the pass game too, it goes up. And he's got a lot of good guys around him, which makes it even easier for him.
Bijan's pretty damn scary.
Oh, yeah.
He's pretty. I mean, you lose Fred Warner, and here comes Bijan Robinson.
Yeah, and it's a super long shot, I know.
Which?
I'm going to explain it. I was looking at it earlier, and if you look at Bijan Robinson, he's on a pace for a 1,000 season, which has only been done three times. If Atlanta were to go on a run and win that division, and he has an historic season, and he goes over a 1,000, he's 100-1 to win the MVP. It's a long shot, I know, but yeah. I like that price as far as, like, right now, Baker's the hot candidate.
Sure.
He's plus 350. 3.5-1, 7-2 would be your horse racing odds.
Yeah, I don't think
not a great price.
Yeah.
But if you want to look at a price of somebody who could emerge, I like a Bijan Robinson at 100-1. If he winds up with, let's just say 2,500 yards from scrimmage, and Atlanta winds up 12-5, or, you know, 11-6, and all of a sudden they win the NFC South, it's not totally out of the question.
I mean, it's kind of a fascinating time to ask, because we could expand this, I guess, to the AFC, and Daniel Jones, I guess, and Jonathan Taylor would both probably be the ones that get entered into the discussion there. You know, we're at a time where Josh Allen has lost two games in a row.
Yep.
I don't really see anybody coming out of the AFC North. The two main candidates there, three, I guess, if you want to add in Derrick Henry, he's totally tapered off. Lamar's hurt. Joe Burrow's hurt. Drake May, a little early. He's playing good football. I mentioned the two Colts guys. There's no one else in the South. I really don't see anyone in the AFC West. Everything in the NFC is so bunched up. Sure, as you said, Baker is the hot candidate, but someone's going to have to emerge. And everyone who's playing good football is just that, good football. Nobody is playing great. Maybe Tampa Bay. But even they, you know, they sit there high. hot candidate, 5-1. Their point differential is 14. That tells you that they are barely sneaking by this, and I think a regression to the mean is likely. They've got a really hard game. Bad spot, I think, for them. Monday night, they're in Detroit with the Lions coming off of a loss. I think that the Tampa Bay might get it handed to them in that football game.
Yep.
And so we'll see. But, I mean, the hot names, right, the Goff and the running backs in Detroit and Jordan Love with Green Bay, Hurts and Jaden Daniels and whatever else. Like
Jonathan Taylor is another interesting one at 100-1 because they've
also
been
at 100-1.
According to FanDuel, I'm just looking at the odds.
Sheesh.
FanDuel's got Mahomes, then Allen, then Baker. That's your top three. And then it's a huge jump to Drake May, Stafford, and Goff, and Jordan Love is in there. Daniel Jones, 25-1. So there's some prices, but Jonathan Taylor might wind up with 2,100 yards rushing, and they, like, he's right now, he might have 20 touchdowns. He could have a monster year, and the Colts are, they're having a terrific year themselves. So, I mean, if you're looking for long shot candidates, those would be a couple I would keep an eye on.
Jonathan Taylor's averaging over 100 yards a game just on the ground.
Right.
Just on the ground.
Yeah, and he doesn't really catch the ball often because I was looking
not as much, no.
This morning I was looking at other possible candidates for a 1,000-1,000 season, and it really is only the two guys we're going to see Sunday night.
Yeah. So far this year he's at, I guess he got 20 catches for 147 yards. He's not going to go for 1,000, but
right. But
he is catching whatever that is, three balls a game,
yeah,
three or four balls a game.
You need to average 58 yards a game if you're going to play all 17.
Yep.
So I was looking at, you know, rushers and or running back receivers who are at that level, and McCaffrey's a tick below in the rushing, and Bijan is ahead of pace on both.
We're talking it out on 95.7 The Game, which is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. I guess the conversation we just had is a long way of saying I kind of agree with your point. You know what I mean? Like, if you ask me right now if I think Baker Mayfield's going to win MVP, I don't. I don't. And I can't remember a recent time, at least. It's still so early. Most teams are six games in. I know Cincinnati and Pittsburgh now have seven. Actually, Pittsburgh's already had their bye, so only Cincinnati. But point is that even at this early stage, normally by now, we've got a little bit better of a picture of quarterback or quarterbacks who have their team really humming and they're putting up those kinds of numbers. Right now, it's just Baker, and his wins have all been just incredibly narrow. And that's fine. You can do it that way. I don't know if this is headed for some sort of a 14-win season, though, for Tampa Bay. I would bet against it.
Right, and if you look at the quarterback candidates, and you so eloquently laid it out, where Lamar Jackson's going to miss a month or more, Josh Allen's dropped a couple in a row, Patrick Mahomes is always a guy who is going to percolate toward the top, and if they have a winning year again, he's going to be a guy who draws attention. But this might be one of the years where you look down the board for a candidate, and if you look down the board, you're looking for somebody to be on a good team, but also have an extraordinary season. And I know Russell Westbrook wasn't on a great team when he won the MVP, but he did something extraordinary, averaging a triple-double, which is how he got the MVP.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so kind of a fascinating race, which I think is emblematic of the fact that it's a fascinating team race right now, too.
Yeah.
There's the Bucs at 5-1. Green Bay's only got one loss, but they also have a tie and only three wins. Outside of that, it's just a bunch of 4-2 and 3-2 and 3-3. The whole NFC, which is, to me, it adds more into this game on Sunday night. This is a big one.
Yeah.
This is a big one.
And it adds more into the just the idea of the MVP race, because no team has emerged, and the teams that are at the top, like Baker Mayfield, he's everybody's darling candidate right now, but he's going to have his team do more than what they've done.
You want to hear a compilation of all the times when George Kittle's been mic'd up?
Oh, yeah, that sounds fun.
Yeah, we'll do that as we wrap up the week coming up next. Time for your calls if you want to get in. 888-957-9570. This is Willard and Dibbs.
Hey, it's Joe Shasky from The Morning Roast, and you're listening to Willard and Dibs. And you know, as much as I love Willard, I'm more of a Dibs guy. So if you want to do what I do, go check in on Dibs and say hi to him. Get in the YouTube chat. Do it right now on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, check in on Dibs.
Yeah.
I don't know if getting in the YouTube chat is the place to do that.
Well, not right now. I'm locked in on the show.
No, head to, everybody knows where they can find you.
You can find me normally during the midday show on the YouTube chat.
Yes.
And it's Memo to Guru and all the other doubting Thomases. It's me. Uncle Scott.
From Fridays.
It's Dan Dibley from the YouTube chat.
So the fake Dan Dibley is Dan Dibley.
It just says Dan Dibley.
Yeah.
And he, I guess Guru assumed that it couldn't be me. And it was me.
Yeah. I know a lot of people who are in the chat think that if they see your name, they're like someone else grabbed that screen name because no one as famous as you would just do that. You wouldn't just put your name out there like that.
Yeah. Well, you would if, I mean, especially for my own station, and I'm really involved and interested in the content. I get the Joes in the morning after I drop somebody off at preschool, and then I do my show prep and I get some Steiny and Goo, and then I drive in and get more of it, and then we cross it on over, and then by the time it gets to the you and me portion, I try to yak in, and sometimes I'll go in the break in the YouTube chat, but I got a lot going on over here, you know?
Not really. Like, we're just sitting here.
Yeah, but there's like
no,
research.
I'm kidding.
And,
no, there's plenty.
And as you talk, I try to be able to bolster points with some facts.
You do other things while I'm talking?
That's a stat.
Yeah.
I try to come up with some stats.
Would you like to hear a compilation sensation?
Cha-ching!
Yeah. This is fun. I mean, just in honor of George Kittle coming back this weekend, the guys put this together, and it's a whole lot of fun because George Kittle's a whole lot of fun.
Oh, I got you so good.
National Tight End Day.
It's a holiday.
It's a holiday.
Woo! National Tight End Day, baby. It's a holiday. Tight ends all over the league are scoring touchdowns.
Ben March, everybody. One of my favorite players on the team.
Hey, that guy's good at football. Great draft pick, John. Hey, what a draft pick by John Lynch. All right.
Just do your job and catch the football is what I would say.
Oh!
People probably think I'm a complete psycho. You don't though, Dwelly. You understand me for what I am? You don't? Oh, okay. You know green eyes are the most rare eyes you can have in the world?
I have a black eye.
I know, I got punched in the face too. What's that smell, guys? Holy cow. Coming up next on Thursday Nightcap, we'll be joined by Fitz's buddy, George Kittle. That's me. He's coming off a big time. You got to scroll it. I can't keep reading it if you don't scroll it. I'm trying to cut the promo for you guys, but you're not giving me the... Hey, how you doing? Hey, everybody!
Hey, everybody! I like the part where he's like, you probably think I'm a complete psycho. No, George, we don't think that. We know that. We know you're a complete psycho.
Where did we come up with that? Was that something that somebody else put together? Or
Grandy?
Was that...
The boss man just said, hey, I sent you something.
Oh, okay.
Hey, something for the guys to get them to the finish line.
People probably think I'm a complete psycho.
Something I wish they should take a look, and probably listen to. The only one missing is...
It puts a smile on.
It does.
Everybody.
The only one missing is from the Super Bowl. Hey, George. Your name is George, and I'm also George. Meanwhile, the ball's just bouncing around on the field.
Meantime, Christian McCaffrey has fumbled right behind him. Okay.
Hey, George, it's George.
Yeah, I mean, I give him a little... It's not like he would have recovered it if he wasn't talking to him. Like, it was behind him. He didn't know, but it wasn't a great...
No.
That wasn't a great...
No.
All right. Well, you know, it's 5:51 on a Friday. So do you want to do this now?
I mean, do I want to do it again on Monday?
No,
sure.
I'm not asking you that yet.
Oh.
No, we're not there yet.
Are we at
We're not
the,
done yet, Dan.
Ladies and gentlemen.
No, we're not there yet.
Well, then there's only one thing that we should and can do.
You want to do it?
Let's do the thing.
All right, let's go to the phones. All right, who's this on line one? It's Kurt in Hayward Hills. Hi, Kurt. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, brothers. The two best sports boys in town, brothers. You definitely are, Dibs.
Hey, Dibs, you're still going against the 49ers? That's okay, Dibs. You're doing good in your picks. God bless you.
Thank you, Kurt. 5-1 on Niner games, and this is going to be a tough one. And thank you for calling in, because I was getting a little worried about you, Kurt, because Friday's not a Friday unless we get Kurt, brother.
Well, don't you worry about Friday, because guess who's back with the 49ers? George Kittle, yeah!
Hey.
That's the best defensive end. He's the best defensive end in football, bottom line. And with him on the line, third down, he's a third down man, and he's a blocker, and he's everything you want in a tight end. I'm so glad he's back, and it's a devastating loss to lose aboard Fred Warner.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
That's
yep.
a massive blow, brother. Yep. Massive blow.
It's a gut punch.
I had them with Robert Saleh, which is the master defense coordinator in the league. I had that team with Fred Warner and Nick Bosa, a Super Bowl contender defense, but I cannot say that right now. It's too young, but I'm still going off with the main man, Robert Saleh. Awesome, and he can put it together, and they need to pressure that Atlanta Falcons cornerback. He's not that good. He might have a pass rusher, but we got to hold up, and we have to beat Atlanta for sure, because if we could go 5-2, we'd be awesome, brothers, and we could still win that division.
Okay, so
a long season.
Yep, no, go ahead.
No, it's a long season, brothers, and don't worry, the 49ers, well, they got to win that division. I'm not going to say anything about any Super Bowl because that's out of the picture right now, but I'm still seeing you got the two best coordinators in the league. You got Robert Saleh, and you got Kyle Shanahan, a master elite coordinator. Nobody's better than his trick plays and his passing, but we got to run the ball, and we're going to run behind Kittle. That's who we're going to run behind this weekend.
All right. I mean, your whole call, Kurt, has been about belief. So if you're watching the game with somebody this weekend and they've lost belief in this team, what would you say to that person? There goes Kurt.
Yeah. All right. Ladies and gentlemen.
Kurt, I love that Kurt called. I can tell that Kurt has he's taken one on the chin there because of Fred Warner.
That's a tough one.
We're gonna have to get Kurt back.
It's a gut punch, yeah, brother.
It is. It is. It absolutely is.
Can I share something with you guys?
Of course.
I know you guys like to feel good heading out on a Friday.
Yeah, and we're feeling like crap because we didn't get invited to the big old fun work.
I know. Right? I'm just going to rain.
We got a treat for you.
I'm going to rain on your parade even more. Did you see what happened in the first inning of the Dodger game?
Oh, I don't care about that. What did they score about? Eight
Shohei
runs?
Ohtani, who is the starting pitcher in this game. Struck out the side,
okay,
and then led off the bottom half with a 450-foot home run.
Yeah, so it's 1-0.
Yes.
It's only worth, that's one run. Everything is fine.
Struck out the side and hit a home run in the first inning.
Here comes the Brew Crew, sliding down the slide like Bernie Brewer.
Oh, yeah.
Here they come.
Except they're in L.A.
The four-game win streak that's about to start is going to be so fun. I can't wait. I can't wait.
That would be something.
All right, Grandy, what's happening? What's about to happen on the radio?
We got Warriors Live coming up. Yep. I'm going to get you set up for the last preseason game of the year, and then we kick things off for real coming up on Tuesday.
I mean,
Clippers,
my goodness,
are in town.
What a show on Monday and Tuesday next week. We're coming off of Sunday Night Football and getting you ready for Warriors Lakers. We're going to be at Splash on Tuesday for a road game, which means it's a watch party, and you got to come down there and watch the game with us. Ooh, the start of next week is going to be good.
Victory Monday, roll right into a Warriors opener Tuesday, and then Wednesday, Thursday we get Steve Kerr.
Probably Wednesday, actually, is going to be a wah-wah and Steve Kerr. They play Thursday.
Oh, that's right.
Home opener Thursday.
I don't care.
And Tuesday is a
Thursday we'll be back at we'll be back at Chase again on Thursday. Nuggets in town.
Yeah.
You want to do it again tomorrow?
No, pumpkin patch tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
What about Sunday?
Golfing.
Niner game.
Later, yeah, but I'm not golfing at 5:30 at night. What kind of a weirdo does that?
I don't know.
Like three holes?
People with glow balls?
Pause.
Do you want to do it on Monday?
I can't wait till Monday.
Fine. Let's do it on Monday. What's coming up in the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. For Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas. even without invites. I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. That's all you got.
Ladies and gentlemen, The Weeknd.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.